Well, hello everyone. So glad to be teaching this morning. I kind of just want to get right into it and say, ask this one simple question. Who do you live for? Do you live for yourself? Do you live for the moment? Who do you live for? And how you answer that question, and I know what the church answer is. The church answer is to say, Jesus. I live for Jesus, Noah. But that might not be your answer. If it isn't your answer, it's going to reveal who and what you put your trust in. How you answer today may be different from how you answer tomorrow. If you put into practice what we're talking about today, we may be able to put our trust, who live for Christ. So as we answer that question honestly, I want to set the stage for what we're talking about. And what we're talking about this morning has to do a little bit with where you've been inside of the past. When you became a Christian, you may have became a Christian under a few misconceptions. First misconception is that we believe that God is going to make our lives easier if we believe in him. And the second misconception is repeating a prayer may take away the fear that we have in death. These are misconceptions because they're not quite true. Yes, there's peace with God, and yes, we shouldn't fear what the future holds because we are in Christ, but the truth is that life is scary. That life is not always easy, and when we put our trust in God, it isn't for ourselves. It's not for a beneficial thing of like, what about my fear? It is simply the obedience to what God's called us to do. See, putting our trust in God, knowing that he sent his son to die on the cross for us after living a perfect life, and after 3 days he rose again, that is something to put our lives in. And that's where by salvation is completed by those things. And if we're going to be honest with ourselves, that we sometimes glaze over that and we make it about us. See, it's not so much about the words that we say and what we've repeated, regurgitated maybe, but it's about how we live with the truth that God's given us. Today, we're going to talk about how we stay connected to God and what he desires for us to do. I'm going to ask you a few questions through this whole thing. And if you're watching online, I want you to be engaged in this. I don't want you to zone out because it's just a video. I want to bring us together and ask a few of these questions. The first being, who do you live for? See, in John, Jesus gives us at least 7 I am statements. And those I am statements are, I'm the bread of life, which states, as the bread sustains physical life, so Christ offers and sustains spiritual life. The second would be, I am the light of the world. The world is lost in darkness, Christ offers himself as a guide. I am the door of the sheep. Jesus protects his followers as shepherds protect their flocks from predators. I am the resurrection and the life. That death is not the final word for those in Christ. He also says that I am the good shepherd. Jesus is committed to caring and watching over those who are his. And then he also says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, because Jesus is the source of all truth and knowledge about God. The thing we're talking about this morning is this 7th I am statement. And it says this, I am the true vine. That last statement says a lot about Jesus. And it gives us a good understanding of what God desires for us to do, is to look at Jesus as the vine, to get all spiritual growth, all fruit from him, from his energy, from his words, from his life, being obedient to him. As we dive into this today, let's focus on what the Word of God says. As Christians, we are called to do three things. One, abide in Christ. Two, love God and others. And three, testify of his works in our lives. So open your Bibles to John 15. And in verse 1, it starts off like this. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire to be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." See, in that passage, we see three distinctions between God, Jesus, and ourselves. We see that God is the gardener, or the vineyard worker. He's pruning and cutting off branches. We see that Jesus is the vine in which God is pruning the branches off of, and we are the branches. It is up to us to bear that fruit, but we cannot do that apart from God. And we're going to talk about that. See, Jesus is the vine. We are his branches. God is the gardener. As long as we are connected to him, we will bear fruit from God, in God, of God, God's fruit. And Jesus states that those who bear fruit are connected to him. Also, they are pruned back. They're pruned back to produce more abundantly. So just as we bear fruit and we feel like that Jesus, that God is pruning us a little bit, that revising our minds, and as we submit to him, as we change maybe the way that we do things, and the more comfortable we are talking about God, we feel a little bit of that pruning. But God does that so we can produce more fruit, more abundantly. It's an amazing thing that God does in us and through us. As for the branches that are cut off and thrown into the fire, that reveals something a lot more shocking though. Those who call themselves Christians but are not producing fruit may not be saved at all. You can state that you're connected to the vine, but you're not actually, if you're not connected to the vine, if you're not getting the nutrients from the vine, you are not going to bear the fruit. And I think that's a hard realization that we come to sometimes. That maybe all of this has been for ourselves. Our faith has been for ourselves. Our relationship with God has been, what can he do for us? But in all reality, it is how do we gain that nutrients from God, from Jesus? How do we remain connected to the vine? So this whole scripture and the cutting off of the branches, throwing into the fire, that is not to make us scared or even question our salvation, but actually it's merely just to challenge us to remain in Christ. It is a good beacon to say, are we actually abide, or are we living in Christ? Or are we producing the fruit that God intends for us to produce? So my question is this, how do we abide or remain in Christ? How do we do that? You may be sitting there thinking, I have no idea how to do that. I'm going to give you the answer. So if you're listening, listen up. We consider him and pray to him constantly. We consider him and pray to him constantly. Consistently. Without fail. There is so much joy in following Christ and doing his will. And abiding in him, following him consistently, constantly. Letting him know our thoughts, our desires, our struggles, our wins. Letting him share with us, or us share with him, the good things that happen in our lives. Coming to him and trusting in him, following him in the situations where it just sucks. And this life is always going to throw things in our way that are distractions, that are disheartening. And it's going to be hard to abide in Christ, but God calls us to abide in him. Here's an illustration that I seem to like, and it really paints a good picture for me, so I hope it does the same for you. So suppose someone approaches you stating that they will give you $1 million, and money is always a motivator for most of us, but if they say they will give you $1 million to keep a ring in your pocket for 30 days, would you do it? Basically saying that they will give you a ring, you put it in your pocket, and you have to keep that with you at all times for 30 days. Would you do it for $1 million? I think the easy answer is yeah, of course. And even if that ring was worth $10,000, knowing what you would get at the end of that 30 days would be worth the $10,000 ring being stuck inside of your pocket. So what would you do during those 30 days? Leave it alone and be like, I'll let it be in the washer. It's fine. Go running? What would you roll around inside of the grass? No. You would check your pocket probably 1 million times a day, making sure that it's there, making sure that it's all right, making sure that $10,000 ring that's going to yield $1 million at the end of the 30 days, that it's safe. This is how we abide in Christ. You don't have to wear yourself out like you would if it was $1 million, but you have to acknowledge him. We must acknowledge Christ in everything that we do. That's how we abide in Christ. Abiding or remaining in Christ allows us to the ability to bear fruit. And the fruit that we bear from Jesus will always come naturally. If you're walking in a vineyard, you don't hear the branches crying out, please let me be a grape, please let me bear some grapes, please let me bear some fruit. No. If the branches are attached to the vine, that's what happens naturally. We don't have to worry about if we're going to bear fruit as long as we're connected to the vine. As long as we acknowledge Christ, we will bear fruit. As long as we remain in Christ, we will bear fruit. Naming and claiming grapes is not a thing that vines do. Just like us naming and claiming the fruits of the Spirit don't make that something that we exhibit naturally. No, it is only by connecting to God, being in a right relationship with Jesus, that we bear fruit. I don't want to oversimplify this. I really don't. But it really is that simple. That if we bear If we want to bear fruit, we must remain connected to the vine. And I know I'm saying that a million times, but I want us to remember it. We must remain in Christ. We must abide in Christ to bear fruit. That is what he desires of us. So if we remain connected to the vine, that we can bear fruit. If you're taking notes, this is the first note that I'd like for you to write down is this: to abide means to remain connected to the vine. It's very simple. Abide, connected to the vine. Just remain connected to the vine. But here's a question. How do you yourself remain in him? How do you yourself remain in him? Let's continue to see what the passage has to say. In verse 9 of John 15, it says this: As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remained in his love. I have told you this so that that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. If you are my friends, or you are my friends, if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you may go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. We must, and listen up on this, we must love as Jesus loved. We must. We have no choice. If we are a Christian, if we're abiding in Christ, if we are doing what God has told us to do, if we are giving our lives over and saying, you know what, God, I trust you, I love you, I seek you in everything, we must love as he loved. When we're offered a situation where we could choose to either act in love or act in hate, there's no question. If there's a time where we need to either act in love or act in indifference, we must choose love. Because this is the example of Jesus. So if we are connected to the vine, which is Jesus Christ, we can rest assured that he desires for us to love others. And at this point in this passage, we hold on usually to the remain in Christ and bear fruit statements. We glaze over the rest because we're like, you know what? We already got our little nugget of goodness. But God, Jesus, does not stop there. He doesn't say, remain in me, bear fruit, go on your way. He says that we must also remain in his love. We must also do the things that he did through love. We must love as Jesus loved. See, this is why Jesus said that the greatest commandment, when asked, is to love God and to love others, or love our neighbors as ourselves. See, this is not a secondary thing for Jesus, that he's like, okay, believe in me, and I guess if you want, you can love God and love others. No, that's what Jesus says is the greatest thing you can do, is to love others. So if you're taking notes, that second point is love as Jesus loved. Don't hold back. Jesus didn't. And Jesus loved the people that sometimes we don't feel inclined to love. Love people. And this may be an easier pill for you to swallow than the previous one. That it may be difficult for you to abide in Christ. It may be difficult for you to think about Christ and the things that he would want for you, but it may be easier for you to love. But regardless, both of these things are integral to our relationship with God and pursuing God. If you want to hear from God, know his will, walk in peace, be fearless, not worry about anything, and continue our relationship with God, these are two pieces of the puzzle that are huge. That without them, we would be missing the will of God if we did not abide in him and we did not love. But there's a third piece of the puzzle. That third piece of the puzzle is to testify. Scary word. I know you guys are thinking that I'm about to say, okay, everybody get up from your couches, get up from your chairs, and just go and tell people about Jesus. Knock on the doors, fill your streets with Bible tracts that say, are you sure you're going to heaven? Or are you afraid to go to hell? You know, those types of things. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there's another piece to this puzzle. It's a rather big one. I believe that these three keys, to testify, to abide, and to love, are keys to walking step by step with Jesus. Abiding in Christ allows us to bear fruit. Loving others allows us to use those fruit the fruits that God has grown up through us. And testifying allows us and those truths to allows it to make a bold statement of what God has done in and through our lives. Here's an interesting thing. Romans 12:2 says this: do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Why do I add that to this list of things? Is because if we are going to abide in Christ, if we're going to love, we need to realize that we don't need to be conformed of this world to this world, but we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And if we're going to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that means that we're going to have to do things that are a little bit uncomfortable. We're going to have to love people who are kind of unlovable, right? Well, we're going to have to go the extra mile in order to show that we do love people. See, God called believers in God to be different from this world, and that's why he wants us to not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. This leads us to things like the Great Commission. And I know you guys can probably quote it, and I hope that you guys will quote it with me. And this is what it says. Matthew 28:16-20 says this: then the 11 disciples, went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. Big point there. God's never going to leave us. But the call to do that is a little uncomfortable. I'll even say as a preacher, that's hard to do sometimes. To boldly stand up and say, I am here to go out and tell people about Jesus. But that's what Jesus has commanded us to do. That is God's will. For you note takers, this is my third point. To testify is to go where God tells you to go and say what he tells you to say. It is important that we abide in Christ. It is important that we love others. And it is important that we take that love, we take what we gain, that fruit that we gain from God in abiding in Jesus, and we tell people about that. We spread the gospel. as Christians, Christ followers, really, we hold on to the truth that God has pulled us from our sins and our destruction and placed our feet on solid ground. And if he's placed our feet on solid ground, we by trusting in him and abiding in him, we will bear fruit. And remaining in his love, we are able to show what that fruit is. But it's only achieved through Christ. Finally, we must go where God tells us to go. Say what God tells us to say, for this is the will of God. I don't know where this message hits you today. I don't know where what this might spark inside of your heart. But I know that God is calling us all to step up our game in some way. I know that whether your next week is going to be super normal or if it is full of craziness, we must bear fruit. A couple weeks ago, I had the opportunity as the student pastor here to talk about the Great Commission for the youth. And it kept going back to talking about the Great Commission. What can I say that is going to drive into my own heart, my own head, what I ought to do with the Great Commission and what these youth should also do. And ever since then, it's been about 2 or 3 weeks, I've not been able to get out of my head that the way that we successfully go out and tell people about Jesus, the Great Commission, is through the fruit of the Spirit. And if we trust in that the fruit of the Spirit, the things that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, if we're wanting to exhibit those things, look at the Bible. We don't just do those things on our own. God doesn't expect us to. God doesn't expect us to love and have joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. He doesn't expect us to do that by ourselves. He expects us to do that through his Spirit. He expects us to abide in him, to be so close to him, to be getting all of our nutrients, to be getting all of our encouragement from him. This world is going to fade. Words are going to lose meaning. But God remains the same. And abiding in Christ is so integral to how we testify. And we cannot testify, we cannot bring the gospel to people through what we do or what we say. We cannot bring the gospel to people if we do not have love. And if we have that love, the love of Christ, we'll be able to do the fruits of the Spirit, to show the fruits of the Spirit. That's how people will know that we're not coming by Noah's words or by our own understanding, but people will be able to see that we come by Christ. It's not by our own understanding that we bring the words of God to people, but it is by the amazing generosity, the amazing grace of God that we're able to go to people and say, I love you. Because in the same way, God came to us when we were at our worst state and said, I love you. I'm here for you. How can you bear fruit this next week? What are you lacking? And if you are lacking something, ask God. God gives abundantly in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. He gives that for free. We don't have to hold a million or a $10,000 ring inside of our pocket. And we're not working towards a goal that is $1 million. We're working towards a goal that is eternal. And it's something we could never earn. If this is the first time you've heard the gospel, if this is the first time you've heard in a nutshell what God intends for us, who this Jesus guy is, what his angle was, it is that he wants us to submit to him, abide in him, to be connected to him, because through him, we will get all the nutrients that we need. We will get everything that we need in this life if we just seek Christ first. If we don't put anything in front of him, we don't have those idols in our lives. And we submit our lives to following God, following Christ. So my challenge to you this next week is to abide in Christ, to love others, and to testify. I want you to do something that may be a little uncomfortable, but I promise you, God will bless you for it. It's this. Already, before God asks you to do a single thing, before you read the Bible and try to gain what God would want you to do, I want you to say yes. I want you to already go into any situation and say, yes, you will do this for God. You will say whatever he's called you to say. You will do whatever he's called you to do for God. Say yes. That way, when you get in a situation where you need Jesus to help you out, if you get in a situation where you're going to need the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness, the faithfulness, the self-control, I missed one of those in there. But when you need one of those, you'll already know the answer to what you should do for God. Is follow him. Abide in him. Trust in him. Acknowledge him. I want to leave you guys with a verse that gets thrown around all the time. People put it up inside of their homes, and they make it a centerpiece. And I think sometimes it loses its power. But it's trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings. But in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. This is a weird time that we live in. We're dictated by feelings, and our lives are made up of self-gratification. What's going to keep me safe? What's going to keep me healthy? What's going to be comfortable for me? But God calls us to first trust in him. To trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. He will make your path straight. So today, I challenge you to bear fruit. This next week, to abide in him, to love others, and to bear fruit, to testify. To be a living testimony of what God's called you to be, to do. Let's pray. God, thank you for this day, and thank you for the opportunity that we have to serve you. I pray that you will allow us the ability to bear fruit in our lives. And if there's something that we must change in order to bear fruit, please allow us the grace to change it and to walk through this life with you. God, We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise forever and always. Amen.